Romans 5, 1 to 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
To turn back to Romans chapter 5, we're looking at today. And I want you to imagine that you were in prison serving a life sentence. You never expected to be released. You'd spend the rest of your days, your life there in prison in captivity. But then one day you were told that your guilty verdict had been overturned and you were set free. They opened the doors of the prison and out you walked into the world free. Now, let me ask you, would that change in your verdict make any difference to your life? Would that change in your verdict from guilty to innocent make any difference in your life? Would anything change for you? Well, of course it would, wouldn't it? Everything would change. Rather than being shut away in a cell in prison and eking out your life, living your life out there, you would be free. You could go where you wanted to. You could have new experiences. You could rebuild relationships with friends and family. You could make new relationships. There are all kinds of things that you could do now that your verdict has changed. This week, the BBC reported on the case of Bobby Bostick. He was serving a 241-year prison sentence in the United States, so clearly never expected to be released. But this week, after 27 years of his sentence, he was freed. I guess maybe I should say not in that case because his sentence was overturned, but because the law was changed and he was released earlier than expected. And he said when he was released, or a bit later, "Life out here is beautiful every day. I go through the fridge and look at the variety of things to pick from. A soak in the bathtub. I haven't taken a bath in 27 years. I don't take nothing for granted. Nothing." Being freed makes a huge difference to life, doesn't it? I'm sure we can understand just something of that. So let me ask you, what difference does a change in verdict make to you? What difference does a change in verdict make to you? Because if you're a Christian, then you have had that experience. We've seen, haven't we, in Romans so far, that every single human being is rightly under God's wrath. We're all guilty, deserving of his judgment. We stand condemned because of our rebellion against our Creator. But we've seen too that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who bore the wrath that we deserve in our place. And now we have been credited with his righteousness. The verdict on us now is not guilty sinner, but righteous. That's what the Bible calls justification, God declaring us righteous. That has happened to you if you're a believer in Jesus. So what difference does that change in verdict make? What difference does justification make in our lives now? Well, that's what we're going to begin to see in these verses as Paul explains it to us. Justification doesn't just kind of change our legal status. It makes everything about life different now, just as it did for Bobby Bostick. So let's see what Paul says in these verses. We're going to look at three things as we work through them. First of all, he says, we have peace, grace, and hope. Justification means we have peace, grace, and hope. Paul begins in verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, since our verdict has changed, and then he tells us three things that we have because of that. So the first is we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Before we were justified by Christ, we were at war with God. We weren't at peace with him, and he was at war with us. He is the true king. He has every right to rule. But we want to push God off the throne and put ourselves there instead, be kings and rulers of our own lives. And so that puts us at war with God. God is our enemy. But once we're justified through faith, well, the war is over. Our rebellion is dealt with. God has done what is needed to bring peace. He's dealt with our rebellion by sending Jesus. And so now he's no longer at war with us. There is peace now between us and God. But there's more than that as well. That would be one thing. An end of war is a good thing, isn't it? But actually, something more than that has happened. It's not just that the war has stopped, but that the gates of the palace have been flung open and we've been welcomed inside. Look at verse 2. We have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Although we're rebels, we've gained access into grace. God clothes us in the royal robes of Jesus and welcomes us in as sons and daughters. That word grace there means that we live in God's favour. His smile is upon us. No longer at war, hostile with us, but views us with favour. We stand there now. That's our permanent situation. Every day we live in the warmth of God's grace. So peace, grace, and then thirdly, hope. Hope, verse 2, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Hope in the Bible isn't a vague thing like, I hope it's not going to rain. Yeah, maybe it will, maybe it won't, who knows. Hope in the Bible is a certainty of something good in the future. It's looking forward to what will certainly happen. And because we have been justified, because God has declared us righteous in Christ, we can be certain of entering into the glory of God. Now that God has declared us righteous, anything less than that would be unjust. It will certainly happen. Our future is glory, the glory of God. We've come across this phrase, the glory of God, a few times in Romans up to this point. We saw back in chapter 1 that we exchange the glory of God for created things. And then in chapter 3, we saw that we fall short of the glory of God. As sinners, we have lost the glory that God designed us for. We can't reach it. It's gone. But by faith in Christ, God restores that glory to us. We will be the glorious people that God designed us to be, and we will enjoy God's glory for all eternity. That is the hope, the certain future that we have. And so what difference does being justified by faith make? Well, everything. Everything. It makes a huge difference, doesn't it? Notice that it's past, present, and future. In the past, we were justified, declared righteous through Christ's death on the cross. Our verdict has been changed. In the present, right now, we have peace and access to God. Every day as you kind of stumble through life, God's smile is upon you. For the last few chapters of Romans, we've been kind of emphasizing, haven't we, that without Christ, all of us are sinners under God's wrath. That's what Paul is emphasizing in those chapters, and we need to grasp that. We need to be convinced that we do deserve God's wrath, because otherwise the gospel makes no sense. We won't see that it is good news. But if you do trust in Christ, if you are justified by faith, then sinner is no longer the most important thing about you. That is what we were. And that sin still hangs around us. But now we live our life in God's grace. When Paul writes to this church in Rome, back in chapter 1, right at the beginning, what does he say? Does he say to all in Rome who are miserable sinners? No. He says to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. That is what we are if we have faith in Christ. Loved by God, called to be his holy people. I expect that some of us, maybe even all of us, actually struggle to grasp that. Perhaps we still feel that God is our enemy. We think that when he looks on us, he has a kind of frown of disappointment, as if we can't quite please him. We're always afraid that maybe he won't really accept us. But what Jesus has done means we are dearly loved by God. We have entered into grace, his grace. He is our loving, tender, patient, forgiving Heavenly Father. We are wrapped in grace, covered by his smile. That is our situation every day. Every day. We need to just kind of soak in that. It's part of enjoying God that we were talking about in our children's talk. To just soak in the wonder and the goodness of being in his grace each day. And this is also, justification also changes our future as well, doesn't it? Past, present and future. We live in certainty of the glory of God to come. You know where your life is heading, and it is glorious. So that's what justification has done now. It's brought peace, grace and hope. But second, how can we be sure? How can we be sure of that? Paul's answer is that God's love proves it. God's love proves it. Because we're justified, we've entered into God's grace, into his favour. And yet it doesn't always seem like that, does it? It doesn't always feel as if anything has changed, as if God really is smiling on us. Our experience is often very different. We suffer, don't we? And we suffer in all kinds of ways. Sometimes that's because we follow Jesus. Maybe it's insults or persecution or just kind of being excluded from things. But we suffer in lots of other ways as well, don't we? We suffer from sickness. Lots of us away this morning for that very reason. We suffer from the pain of getting old. Our bodies decay. We suffer grief and sadness. There are frustrations of living in this world. Maybe we seem to be constantly working and yet we achieve very little. Things break and spoil. Hopes are disappointed. That's just the way life is, isn't it? We're used to things being like that. But how does that fit in with this new position of being in God's favour? Well, in verse 3, Paul says that now we've been justified, we can even rejoice in our sufferings. Our sufferings don't stop us rejoicing. So why is that? Well, notice first of all what Paul is not saying. This is important. He's not saying that we rejoice because of our sufferings. Sometimes people get a kind of twisted idea about this, I think. They think, my suffering shows that God must really love me. Or they think, I'm glad I'm suffering because that means that I'm paying for my guilt. And I want to say very strongly, that is not what Paul means. That is not what the Bible says. If we trust in Jesus, we are justified. Our guilt has been paid for. We don't have to pay for it. God doesn't make us pay for our sins by suffering now. So we mustn't think that that's the case. Paul is not saying we rejoice because of our sufferings. He's saying we rejoice even in our sufferings. Even when we suffer, we can still rejoice. And we can do that because we know that our sufferings are achieving something good for us. It's a bit like someone who's training to run a marathon. They hope to complete the marathon and to receive the medal at the end. And so they start off doing some training runs. They're not kind of in very good shape, perhaps. And they start off with some very short runs, just a mile to start with. And it really hurts. They're suffering. They come back and every muscle is aching and it aches for the next few days. They don't like that suffering. They don't like the pain. But they know that it will help them to keep going on a bit longer and a bit longer. After every training run, when they come back aching, their hope of finishing the race gets a bit stronger. And so they rejoice, not in the suffering, but in the fact they have more and more confidence that they're going to get the medal in the end. And it's the same for us in the Christian life. Look at what Paul says in verse 3. He says, suffering produces perseverance. That is, it helps us to keep on going, to keep on following Jesus. It strengthens us in the sometimes difficult walk following him. And perseverance produces character. It makes us mature believers who can cope with anything that's thrown at us. And character produces hope. As we see ourselves maturing in the Christian life, that's a great encouragement, isn't it, that God is working in us. It makes us more and more confident of the hope of being brought into the glory of God. And so even when we suffer, we can still rejoice. And Paul says that our hope, verse 5, will never disappoint us. When we get to the end of our life, we won't suddenly realise that we've put our hope in the wrong thing, that it wasn't worth it in the end. God's Spirit helps us to know more and more that God loves us, verse 5 says. His Spirit at work in us helps us to feel that relationship that we have with God, the love that he has for us. And many Christians can testify that that's the case. Maybe you have that testimony as well. People who've been through a time of suffering which was painful, and yet it brought them closer to the Lord. They had a much deeper sense of God's love for them through that time of suffering. I've read people saying that they wouldn't change it for anything, even though it was painful at the time. Maybe you've had that experience of suffering, increasing your hope, drawing you closer to God. So Paul says that God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That is, we feel inside us that God loves us. But we don't always feel like that, do we? Particularly when we're suffering, it often doesn't feel like God loves us. So how can we be certain that he does? How can we be certain that God loves us? Have you ever wondered that? I expect all of us probably have at some point. If you're struggling, it doesn't feel perhaps like God loves you. So how can you know that he actually does? Well, verse 8 tells us, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul says in verse 7 that if there was a righteous person, an upright, respectable kind of person, then would you die for them? Probably not. Probably not. What if it was a good person, somebody who had a good effect in the world? Maybe a doctor who's saving lots of lives or something. Would you die for them? Well, maybe you could be persuaded to, but I don't think it would be very easy, would it? But what did Christ do? He died for the ungodly. He died for us when we weren't righteous or good, when we were sinners, when we were in rebellion against him. When we were like that, Christ died for us. Why would he do that? Well, only because of love, of course, isn't it? The people that we might be persuaded to die for are people that we love, aren't they? Wives and children. And God shows that he loves us because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What an incredible expression of love that is. And so our certainty that God loves us doesn't just rest on how we feel inside. It also rests on what has actually happened in history. Our feelings can change. But even when we don't feel like God loves us, Jesus has still died for us. That historical event has still taken place. That fact remains, and nothing can change it. We have an unshakable proof of God's love for us, whatever our circumstances. Verse 8 is such an important verse. If you've never memorized it, I'd encourage you to do that. That's probably the best thing that you can do with the rest of your day. Go home and memorize verse 8. It will be such a help to you. The reason that it is so helpful is because all of us will go through times when we wonder whether God loves us. If God loves me, why am I in such pain? If God loves me, why is my marriage such hard work? If God loves me, why didn't my dreams work out the way I hoped? If God loves me, why can't I find that godly relationship that I'm longing for? If God loves me, why is my family causing me so much pain? If God loves me, why is my life one disappointment after another? In times of suffering, we don't have the answers to those questions, do we? But what we can say for certain is those things don't happen because God doesn't love us. How can we be sure that he loves us? Well, because when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And if he did that, then we might not understand his plans for us, but we can be certain that he loves us. And so we can trust him, even in the darkness. Or maybe it's not your circumstances that make you doubt God's love. Maybe it's you. Your own sinfulness. We think, how could God love me when I've done that, when I'm like that? Well, remember verse 8. When we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He knew we were sinners when he died, and he still died for us anyway. He didn't die for us because we were good, because we'd sorted ourselves out. He died for us because he loved us despite our sin. And he still loves us despite our sin. Because Christ died, we are justified, declared righteous. His death is enough to cover even our worst sin. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So what difference does being justified make? It's given us peace, grace, and hope. God's love, which is demonstrated in Christ, proves it. And then finally, being justified means that we are certain of being saved from God's wrath. Jesus' death makes us certain of God's love now in the present, but it also makes us certain of God's salvation in the future. That is his salvation on the day of judgment when God's wrath comes. Have a look at verse 9. If Jesus' death has given us righteousness now, will we be safe on the day of God's judgment? That's what Paul's asking in verse 9. And he answers, of course we will. God's wrath has already been poured out on Jesus. In Christ we have nothing to fear on the day of judgment. Verse 10. If Jesus died for us when we were enemies, will he save us now that we're his friends? Well, of course he will. He's already done the really hard thing of dying for enemies. We can be certain that he will keep us through life and bring us to glory. As we go through life, we know what the future holds. Christ's death guarantees it. That is a historical event in the past that nothing can change. And so our future is guaranteed. One day each of us will pass through death. unless Christ comes first. And when we do that, if we're in Christ, then we're going to meet a friend. We're going to a Saviour who is longing for us to be with him. He died to make it possible, and he will certainly make it happen. And so we don't need to be afraid. When Bobby Bostick was released from prison after 27 years, he found his new situation very different. He didn't know what wireless earbuds were, so he couldn't understand why people were walking along talking to themselves. I expect some of us struggle with that, despite not being in prison. He was amazed that people smiled at him instead of trying to have a fight with him as he passed them by. But if we've been justified through faith in Christ, our situation is even more different. It's changed even more radically. We have a restored relationship with God. We're at peace with him. We live in his grace and favour, surrounded by his love. And we're certain of our future. And so verse 11, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray, shall we? Our God and Father, we praise you that you are abounding in love and faithfulness, in goodness to us. Thank you that you haven't just changed our legal standing and then ignored us, but your plan was so much more than that, to make us sons and daughters, to have a holy people, for us to be united to your own beloved Son. What a wonderful thing you have done. We thank you that verdict given to us through the death of Christ changes our lives now and our future. Thank you that we have entered into grace and peace now. Thank you that we have that hope for the future. Thank you that it is certain. We thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit, who makes us aware, makes us feel your love for us. And we thank you too that we have proof of your love outside of us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Pray particularly for those who are suffering and struggling at the moment, perhaps through ill health or difficult circumstances at home or at work or whatever it might be. We pray that they would know that even though we might not have all the answers to those things, we can be certain that you love us, because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Help us, we pray, to let that sink into us, that our lives would change to reflect the new reality that we live in. May we rejoice and so bring glory to you, our God and Father. Amen.